Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles tonight into Numbers chapter number 9. We preached to you this morning on the presence of the Lord. And I tell you what, there was a good spirit in the house of God this morning. Amen. And I'm just thankful for the visitors that had come, a whole family, a whole line up back there. They was here last week, come back this week. And I don't know if they don't trust me, don't like me or what, but they don't want me to know who they are. Amen. We had the kind of pry a visitor's card out of them this week, and then they only give me their first names and give me a rough idea about where they live. Amen. So they don't want to be bothered, but they truly were a blessing being here, and we just pray that God would just speak to their heart through the messages that they've heard. And we don't know what their situation is or what their deal is, but God knows all about it. And if God has a place for them, He'll put them there. Amen. And we're just thankful that they've come to be with us. And Brother Carlos told me he's going to be opening here probably in just a few weeks. And it blessed my heart this morning. They asked us, said, before we open, we would like you to come and just have a blessing, just to pray a blessing over our business. And I tell you what, and that just touched my heart that God has reached them and that far, and has just brought them to that realization to know that through the fires and through the floods, amen, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'd be there. So just pray for them, and I'm excited that they're opening up. But I tell you what, there's not a whole lot of places to eat around Northeast that you can get in and get out of without it being such a big hassle, and I'm thankful for that. I've missed them. Amen. I have missed Frank's. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that. So pray for them. They've been through a terrible ordeal. It's been a long, long time. Amen. It's been way longer than it should have been, and it's really tried their faith. It's tried their patience, and it's tried everything about them. But, like I told him, I said, the Lord brings you through adversity sometimes to just teach you to trust in Him. And they said, we've learned that. We've learned that. Things happen in His time and for His reason. Amen. And we're just so thankful for that. Amen. So pray for them and just pray that God would just use them where they're at to be a witness. And we've always had freedom there. I've taken singing groups there, and we've got up in the middle of the store and commenced the gospel singing there, and Carlos never said a thing. Amen. We've had singing groups get up and Brother Jim, Sister Sue, missed a group one night, was there. I said, man, we didn't get to hear him singing. I said, y'all feel like singing here? They said, here? I said, yeah, Carlos won't care. They got up and commenced to singing. We begin to have church right back there. Amen. And Carlos don't mind a bit. Praise God. So I just pray that he'd be a witness and a testimony to the community, to the faithful of God. If you found Numbers chapter number 9, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 15. I'll tell you what, we'll just let you stay seated tonight. And the Bible says that on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle. They rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Our Father, we thank you for this privilege which you've granted unto us to come back tonight. Though we're few in numbers, Lord, we know that don't mean a thing to you. And God, we just ask you to speak to our hearts. You've given us this message, Lord, and you've laid this on our heart, Father, for those of us that are here tonight. And Father, we need to heed your word and listen to what you speak to us and what you tell us. And help us, God, to take your word and apply it to our hearts and lives and use it that we might grow to the place where you'd have us to be. And now we ask you, Lord, just to move in the service and to do what you want to do according to your perfect will. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen and amen. How many's got an idea what we're going to preach about tonight? What do you say, Brother Jim? Well, you close. And you're close. Amen. What do you have, Brother Jim? He tells you to do. You're close. You're right on that. Following the Lord. You know, one of the hardest things we have to do, and one of the biggest problems that we have in our life and we face in our lives, is just following the Lord. Amen. Being obedient unto the Lord and doing what he says, as Brother Jim says, doing what he says when he says to do it and how he says to do it, where he says to do it and why he says to do it. Amen. Sometimes we have a problem with that, and folks say, well, I just don't understand, and I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I just don't know what the Lord's will. And I was hoping more of the teenagers would be here tonight, because, you know, as you start to grow and you start to get to the age of finishing school, you know, you got a lot of plans that you're making. Amen. And you're starting to decide what is the next stage in my life. What is the next thing that I'm going to do? And you know, there's no better way to decide what you're going to do than to find out what it is that God wants you to do. Amen. And you know, I'm getting close to retirement. I got just I can count it by months now. Amen. I got 1 year, 5 months, and just a few days left, and I'm going to retire. And you know what? I'm excited about retiring, but the closer it gets, the more it begins to start, because it's a whole new. I don't know what it is. Amen. Not to work. I've been working since I was 12 years old. I started my first job working at a golf course, and I walked from Elkton to Rising Sun to Chantilly Golf Course to work every morning, and I walked home every evening. I'd done that for 2 or 3 years working there. During the school year, when I couldn't go to Chantilly because it was too far to go, I either worked as a janitor in the I'm talking about when I was in middle school now, kids. I'm talking about I caught the bus and I went to Holly Hall Middle School, and I worked as a janitor at night, and the school board hired me, and I worked as a janitor every night cleaning schools until 9 o'clock. I couldn't work past 9 o'clock, and I had to go home and then do my homework and do everything else. I know what it's like to work. I know what it's like to be busy. And before I started working in the outside world, my mom always had something for us to do. I've worked all my life, and now I'm talking about retiring. Amen. You know, I can't wait to leave where I'm at, but it's kind of a foreign concept. Amen. For 35 years now, I have got up every day and went to work at Amtrak. And part of that 35 years, I had a company that I worked on the side. I had a contracting company. I'd done work for railroad contractors, and I would work in Philadelphia. I worked 3 to 11 at Amtrak in the equipment shop, and we would get up, and the guys that worked for me, we would go to Philadelphia, and we would be there, and we'd work in Philadelphia to right about 2 o'clock, and we had just enough time, if everything went right, and you know the Lord was with us, to make it from Philadelphia to Perryville to start work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and work to 11 o'clock at night and get up the next morning at 4:30. And start all over again. I know what it's like to work. I seen a fella here not long ago that had to go out on disability. He had Meniere's, and they give him, he's a lineman, and he climbs, and he had Meniere's disease, and they had to give him something for his dizziness and to help his stability, but he's not allowed to work. And I asked him, I said, what's it like not having to go to work? He said, well, he said, it takes some time to get used to. He said, but I've kind of fallen into the groove. He said, I got up this morning at the crack of 8. You know, John Wesley wrote in his diary one time as he was approaching his 80th birthday. He says, I found myself getting slothful in my old age. He said, I found myself sleeping in to 5 o'clock every morning instead of getting up at 4:30 like I used to. Change makes us stop and think. Amen? You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, Mrs. Jones, you're going to be a mama. Change makes you stop and think. You go to the doctor and you hear the words, well, Mr. Jones, you have cancer. And when change begins to happen in your life, one of the things you want to know is, what does God want me to do? The children of Israel have just come out of spiritual bondage. They've been in bondage for 480 years or something like that. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. All they knew is to do what the taskmaster told them to do what Pharaoh had said that was required of them. That was what was in their mind. That was what's in their thought. And that's what they knew to do, is what they were instructed and what they were told to do. And now God has brought them out of that. And now God has given them deliverance. And God has showed them along the way that they could trust in Him. But how do we know what God wants us to do? Three things I think that this passage, I believe probably this is one of the most poignant examples of being able to discern God's will that there is. In verses 15 to 17, the Bible says, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it was, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always that the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. If you want to know where God wants you to be, the first thing you need to do is recognize His presence. Amen? Is to recognize His presence. People say all the time, well, I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Well, get in touch with Him, amen, and get acquainted with Him real good, and He will let you know. The thing of it is this, His presence is very discernible. Amen? All the children of Israel had to do was look out their tent. The pillar of fire was there at night. The pillar was a cloud during the day. His presence was discernible. They knew He was there. They could see Him, that they could experience. I don't know, it had to be some kind of an experience that I believe seeing Him and knowing that was the presence of God, I believe you had to feel it. Amen. I believe it was something that you wholly experienced and you wholly knew. And the first thing I can tell you about discerning what God wants you to do or how to follow God or how to be in God's will is to learn to discern His presence and to discern His voice of instruction, His voice of teaching. You learn to discern the things that God brings into your life. Sometimes he gives you a word. Sometimes He sends someone to you. But when He does, you know it's from the Lord. You ever had somebody come to you and share something with you, and you know that the only way they can know what was going on in your life and going on in your heart is the Lord had to send them to you? Amen. That's spiritual discernment. That's learning to discern the presence of God and learn to discern His a hand upon your life. But the greatest way of all is when you hear that voice that speaks within. And sometimes He speaks and he don't shout. Sometimes he speaks. And there's a song that we sing, Wherever I Go. We don't sing it as much anymore as we used to, but the second verse of that song says, you're waiting to hear thunder, and you're waiting to see lightning. And that's what we expect from God. We want to see thunder and hear thunder and see lightning. We want to see some great and mighty thing. But Elijah heard that still small voice. And he discerned that it was the voice of God. You remember the message this morning? The confirmation of his presence. God will make himself known. God will make you aware that it is he who is speaking to you. God will make you aware that it is he who is wanting to direct your life and to be in charge and to give you the things that you need and to show you where it is that he wants you to go. You know, it's not God's will and it's not God's desire for everybody to run off to college. Amen? It's not God's will and it's not God's desire that everybody be a preacher. Amen? It's not God's will and God's desire that everybody be this or be that, but God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. He had a plan for his people, and he wanted his people to follow him, and he wanted his people to know that he was in their midst, and he wanted them to be able to discern his presence, so he gave them a means to discern his presence. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a means. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. He said, but I'll send my spirit into you. Discerning God's presence and recognizing his presence and recognizing his constancy, recognizing his desire. I like what it said there, and so it was always. Amen. The Lord don't tell you to do something today. And, you know, I have a problem with a lot of people in some of their so-called ministries. Today you get a letter, God wants us to do this. And tomorrow you get a letter, well, now God wants us to do this. Well, I thought you was doing that. You know, I thought you was over here, and now you're over here. Well, we thought God wanted us. Well, God's constancy, I believe, speaks volumes to what he wants us to do. People who are wishy-washy aren't listening to the call of God. They're being encouraged in some other manner. There's an old saying they used to say about some preachers, their mama called and daddy sent. You ever heard that saying? Mama wanted a little boy to be a preacher, so daddy had to pay to send them off to Bible college. And, you know, they look at the ministry as a vocation, and it's not. This is not a job. This is not a vocation. This is a calling that God places upon one's heart. But the constancy of God assures us and helps us to discern his presence, so that we can seek his face and find his will, or find our place where he wants us to be in life. Not only do we need to recognize his presence, we need to follow his lead. Paul talks in his epistles about the times that God had dealt with him and had made the opportunity available to him. He talks about the time that he got the call in the vision, and the man from Macedonia. Amen. God give him that vision of the man saying, come over here and help us. He talks, I believe in Ephesians, I might be wrong, it's one of the epistles though, he tells of a door of effectual, I mean, a door where he can be effective and minister has been opened unto him. And he needs to understand, and he needs to follow God's lead. When God opens the door, you need to step through it. Amen? God opens the door a lot of times, but we just stand there staring. Wow. Amen? Wow. Look at that. Wow. Imagine that. When God gives you an open door, don't be afraid to walk through it. Look at what he said. He said, when the cloud raised up, they went. When the cloud stayed, they stayed. If the cloud stayed overnight, they just stayed overnight. If the cloud went on and they stayed for a month, they stayed for a month. If it was a day, a month, a year, whatever it was, and wherever it was that God led them, they were willing to go. They were obedient to where he wanted them to be. There was only room for one to be in charge and one leader. Amen. Look at what verse 18 says. At the commandment of the Lord. Amen. Let the Lord be your guide. You know, if we begin to try to take control, we're going to steer ourselves into stormy waters, into dangerous waters. There's only room on the ship for one captain. You know what happens on a ship when someone tries to usurp their authority over the captain? It's called mutiny. And mutiny isn't taken lightly. Mutiny is one of the highest degrees of punishment that you can face in the military, especially on a naval ship. Mutiny cannot be tolerated because there's only room and there's only a place for one to be in charge, one to be in control, one captain. You know what happens in our lives? Sometimes we want a mutiny against the one who sits on the throne of our heart. The one who's our guide, the one who gives us direction, the one who is the one that is calling the commands and telling us where to go. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't comprehend. But, you know, if you're going to follow God, if you're going to seek discernment in where he wants you to go, it's going to take some patience. Amen? That's what verses 19 and 20 said. When tarried long, we tarried long. We journeyed not. And it was so when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents according to the commandment of the Lord. But you know, whatever the Lord said to do is what they did. It took patience. And it still takes patience to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we want to act in ourselves, but we are much better off when we have patience and we wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we want to do as we want to do when we want to do it, but it works much better when we have patience and we wait upon the Lord. And not only does it take patience, it takes expedience. Well, how can you have both, Pastor? Well, look at what verse 21 said. And so it was when the cloud abode from even to the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. You know, if the Lord wants you to wait, you don't know what the Lord's going to have you to do, but when the Lord tells you to do it, you need to move. You need to be patient and wait upon the Lord, but when the Lord gives you clear direction of what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, you need to move. Amen? Don't hesitate. Dilly-dally around, don't tarry when God says it's time to move. And lastly, and I really don't want this to be self-serving, and I don't want in any way to apply that I have something special or something different outside of what anyone else can do, but I have an office. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook. Toya Lusby posted something that her mom sent her the other day, and I took some time to read it, and it was about the office of a pastor, and it really was good. And the fellow that wrote the piece said, you know, most of the time pastors don't take the time to elaborate on it because it seems self-serving, and it does, but it's not. It's just to drive home the point that God makes throughout his word. He puts people He puts men in places where he can use them when he wants to use them and how he wants to use them. In verse number 23, it says, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Moses was the man of God. Need you say any more? Amen? A man of God is a man of God. And a man of God is just that. He is a man of God. A man of God, and you know that he is a man of God. You know that God has placed him in the place where he is because God has a purpose and God has a reason for using that individual at that time. God sends people into people's lives, and he sent people into situation, in the Word of God, sometimes just to deliver one message. But he was always the man of God. You need to be able to have confidence in the man of God. That's very important. How do I have confidence in a man? The Bible says over in Psalms 118, verse 8, he said, it's better to put my trust in, I'd rather, well, let's go read it. Amen. I think it's important enough to stop for just a minute. I want to hurry. I want to get done, but I want to take time to do what God wants to do. Amen. And Psalm 118, verse number 8, it says, better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Amen. You don't put confidence in a man because he's a man. You put confidence in the office that God has called that man to because God has called him to that place. And unless that man gives you reason to lose confidence in him, praise God, you need to depend upon him to do what God is calling him to do. You need to believe that he's doing what God has called him to do. They said, we didn't move. They didn't go anywhere, but they kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. God ministers to his people through his man. You need to understand the role of God's man. It was a position that Moses was called into. Amen? It was a position that he didn't seek and he didn't desire, but God called him to it. It was a position that required respect. Many times Moses had to deal with challenges of his authority and challenges of the place where he was and challenges in the decisions that he made. And God always proved time and time again that the decisions that Moses was making were the decisions that God had intended for him. Sometimes it was from the crowd, but one time it was his own family that challenged him. Because they didn't respect the office that God had called him to. Because they only seen one side of what God had called Moses to do. They only seen Moses saying, let's go. God said, move, let's move. They only seen Moses saying, let's stop. God said, let's stop, let's stop. They didn't see the responsibility that Moses bore. His own father-in-law looked at Moses and said, this is too great for you. This is going to wear you down. This is more than an individual can handle. The responsibility that you have taken on and that you have is more that than can be dealt with. And you got to understand and you got to believe that God's man takes the responsibility to God's heritage and God's people very seriously. And his only desire for you is to help you to discern what the will of God is for your life. Every message I preach is to help you. Amen? Every message I preach is to encourage you. Believing that God's man is there and has your best interest at heart not only helps you, but it helps God's man. I don't ask anybody just to accept anything I say, carte blanche. I challenge you to go and check the scriptures. If you find where I'm wrong scripturally, I want to know. Amen? I want to know if I've heard. And don't get me wrong. So we all make word errors or something like that in reading. I'm not talking about it. But when I get theologically or doctrinally wrong, I want you to come bring me the word. And show me the word. Amen. You know, I've seen a lot of arguments take place in church and a lot of arguments from the pulpit to the pew because of what I think and what I feel and I believe. But when you can take the word, and I've seen people in church say, well, I know that's what the word says, but I've seen the man of God tore down because of but. Amen. And all the man of God wants you to do is to understand what God wants you to do, where God wants you to be. I've had people get mad at me and leave church and get themselves in a mess. And call me in the first thing and say, well, I know you told me. I know I should have listened. Friends, I'm not trying to, puff myself up, but I'm just telling you, God puts the man behind the pulpit to preach the message to help you to understand what God has in store for your life. This message went out tonight to the handful that's here, but it has something different for each and every one of you, because God has something for each and every one of you that's different. And he wants you to understand how to know what it is that he wants you to do. Amen. You want to understand what it is to know the will of God. I like going and listening to evangelists and preachers. But you know, the majority of them have a little book and they got a handful of messages and they preach that same message over and over and over again. You want to know how to learn to discern the will of God? Sit down and say, start praying. Not on Saturday night, but you're praying through the week. Lord, what do you want me to give your people? Lord, what is it? And sometimes by the first of the week you have it. Sometimes Saturday night, he said, Lord, I'm just at a loss. And sometimes he leaves you that way. And you know, I'm glad he does, because sometimes he's got to do that to keep me out of it. Amen. So that his will can be done in it. You know, I understand what it is trying to find what God's will is. I understand how hard it is sometimes to discern, is this the message, God? But I've learned that when the Lord shows up and when he finally gives it, it's like flipping a switch. Amen? I can struggle and I can struggle and I can try to find it, but it's just like the Lord flipping a switch. Said, here I am. I know he's there. Amen. I feel his presence. I can see clearly what it is that he wants me to see and wants me to know. And all I got to do is just go where he leads me. Go where he guides me. Go where he directs me. And he takes me to the place where I need to be so that I can share with you what God wants you to know, to take you where he wants you to be in that particular time in your life. Whether it be for a night, whether it be for a day, whether it be for a month or a year, God knows the plans that he has for you. God knows where you need to be. And each one of us at times need to be someplace different in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual life. Each one of us need to be someplace different than the things that we're struggling with and we're dealing with and how we deal with them. But God knows where you need to be. And I encourage you tonight, above all things, ask the Lord where he wants you to be and what it is that he wants you to do. Be patient and wait upon the Lord. Don't rush into things without being sure of where the Lord wants you to be, but don't hesitate to go when he makes it evident of what it is he wants you to do. Let's stand our feet tonight, heads bowed.